to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. So I'm going to be sharing. We don't have a program for the children, but if you want to take advantage of the nursery, there is a nursery for littlest children. Newborns, I guess, up to about 4 years of age. Okay? So I just wanted to share a biblical thought with you, and then I want to share some practices of how it looks like God is answering our prayer here at the church regarding all the people that he is sending our way. So I'll just kind of leave you hanging with that much as I start reading some verses. Genesis 1, verse 11 says, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." In essence, from those verses, we can conclude everything God created that was alive, that is alive, has within itself the capacity to reproduce, okay? There's seed in everything that God created, all of the plant life, all of the animal life, human beings included. Everything that he created has seed within itself so that it could reproduce itself. At the end of this, "And God saw that it was good." That's the way he intended it. He looked at it and said, that is good. Everything God created has the ability to reproduce. Now turn over a page. Genesis 1, 26. It says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. Oh, could I ask you to do something in the back there? Can you push that record button? Is this being recorded? Great, thank you. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." Lord, we just thank you today for your design. Lord, the way you have created everything. Lord, we echo what you said about it. We call it good. We call it very good when you created man in your image and likeness. And Lord, everything that you created has the ability to reproduce. Help us to keep that in mind, Father, as we move forward as individuals and even as a church family. Lord, we thank you and praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, turn over to the New Testament. Matthew chapter 28. This is at the end of Matthew's gospel, known as the Great Commission. Verse 16. This is after Jesus rose from the dead, and he showed himself that he was truly alive. It says, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. But when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So we read this commission, this great commission in the end of the gospel, and you can find a great commission in Mark's gospel and Luke's and really in John's and all of them. And even in the beginning of Acts, you see a great commission, okay? And so in essence, really, what Jesus is giving the commission, it's actually the very same thing that God told Adam and Eve to do, but now for the New Testament church, those that are born again, those that are spiritually alive to God, those that have all their sins forgiven, now we're God's chosen people, it's actually the very same commandment. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, and then he told his disciples, in essence, be fruitful and multiply. Go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples, baptize them, teach them, and so on and so forth. So here's, once again, my main point is this. Everything God creates has the ability to reproduce. Apples reproduce apple. You plant an apple seed, you get apples. Corn, you reproduce, it grows into a stalk and has two ears of corn on it. People reproduce people. Disciples reproduce disciples. Churches reproduce churches, okay? That's just the way God made everything. So let me now transition into kind of where we are today as far as our local church. A brief history of the Richfield Christian Fellowship. First of all, how many people here were able to go to the meeting 2 weeks ago up in Madrid? Could you raise your hand way up high? All right, great. It was great to have so many people there. That was a big celebration. It was basically their 40th anniversary. The church was established in 1974. And one of the things that was, I think it was shared at the meeting, was originally when the church was planted in 1974, one of the key elders had a vision that CFC was supposed to be like the hub, and then out of this hub of a wheel were all these spokes that came out. And so CFC was supposed to be the center, and all these other churches were going to grow out of and be planted out of Christian Fellowship Center. That's actually why they incorporated it, Christian Fellowship Centers of Northern New York, okay? And so that was part of the original vision. So this church here was actually part of that vision. It was started in 1992, Pastor Ford Reynolds, Pastor Rick Sinclair, and Pastor Ford and Sarah and many others labored for many, many, many years just faithfully preaching and teaching the word, praying for the sick, seeing God do great things, just giving and sowing and just really, really faithful. And then I wasn't looking to get involved. At first, when Ford asked me to consider it, I said, boy, I don't think so, Ford. I don't see it. I said, but I'm going to pray about it. That's for sure. I really need to pray about it. And as I prayed about it, and as I sought counsel, and as I talked it over with Ford, with my wife, with other people, it became crystal clear in my heart, yes, we were supposed to come and be part of the work here. So that was late 2008 that was happening, and I was set in as the pastor in February 2009. So I'm giving you just a brief church history here, okay? And so basically for the first 2 years, well, let me say this. One of the things, as we were processing coming here, I asked Pastor Rick Sinclair, I said, well, what about if we talk to some of the folks that currently attend the Madrid Church, but they live south of Canton? He said, Mike, you talk to anybody you want to talk to, and if they feel called to join you guys, we're going to bless them, we're going to release them. And so there's a lot of you in this room today that were part of that company, okay? So it wasn't just the Tomfords that came to Richfield. It was several families came down. And I would say for the first 2 years, it felt like a blended family. You know what I mean by a blended family? You know what I mean? Like, husband and wife get married. It's their second time through. He's got some kids. She's got some kids. And they blend the family together. That's kind of what it felt like. In my heart, it felt like that for probably about 2 years. But then, you know, today it doesn't feel like that at all to me. It feels like this is one big, family of God, local church. There's no like, oh, you were part of the group that came down or anything like that. It doesn't feel like that to me at all anymore. So one of the things that's happened is we've been blessed that we have so many new people coming to the church. And, you know, the 80% rule, church experts say, when your room is 80% full, you're full. Meaning you're normally not going to grow beyond that. People like space. They don't necessarily like to sit like sardines in a can. If you're 80% full, you're full. And so really for a few years, we kind of hovered around that 80% rule. Then, I don't know, it feels like November, there was like a whole bump up again of new people coming to the church. And so at that point, we kind of went way past the 80% rule. We have 133 seats in this room. And if you go square footage-wise by what a room should have, it should have about 115. So if it feels a little claustrophobic, it's because it is. There's more chairs in here than we probably should have. And so we've been, you know, and all along we've been like, Lord, what should we do? I don't know what to do. We looked at possibly doing an addition out here, and we priced it out, and it was like $200,000 to $250,000 to do an addition. And Ford Reynolds is my mentor, and so he's pretty fiscally conservative. He didn't want to go into debt. I didn't want to go into debt. We didn't feel like that was a wise way to go, and a lot of other people were in the same boat. We didn't want to borrow a whole bunch of money to do this. Then, so that was like, I just don't know that that's a good idea to put on a big addition. So then this building down the hill here, the old Richville School, became available. And I was pretty excited about that. I was talking with Rick Haller and others. I had architects involved. And we looked at renovating and turning that into a church building. And it seemed like it was going to be able to be done for significantly less money than adding on here. But long story short, that door closed. And so that became obvious that we couldn't do that. And so, you know, I just, once again, I was like, I'm not sure what to do. I don't know what to do. And I had a lot of people through that time say, well, Mike, that's a great problem to have. God bless you. That's a great problem to have. And I would try not to bite their head off. And I would say, yeah, it is. It's a great problem to have. You know, it felt like, you know, it's one thing if you get married and God blesses you and 2 years into married life, you know, you're in a small two-bedroom apartment and you got two kids and it feels really packed and full. You're like, hey, God bless you. That's a good problem to have. You don't have enough bedroom space. But, you know, if you've been married like 12 years and God's blessed you and you have 8 children and you're still in that little two-bedroom apartment, you know, after a while you feel kind of negligent. You know what I mean? Like, hey, man, what are you going to do, buddy? Do something. You don't have room to care for all the family you have. So I that was the kind of sensation I was having. Nobody was pressuring me, by the way. Nobody was like, Mike, what is wrong with you? Nobody was doing that. I was just struggling with feeling like we have these people that God has sent to us, and there's just a sense of responsibility to care for them, you know, to just feed the flock, to take care of God's people. That's you know, that was in my heart, and I just, it was very, very difficult. And so probably about 4 months ago, I started all long we've been praying, Lord, what do you want us to do? What should we do? What should we do? What should we do? And about 4 months ago, I started thinking, you know what? Maybe we need to do something outside of the box from my limited thinking. And maybe we should plant another church. Maybe we should start another church. Maybe we should do something different here. Now, let me back up and share with what happened in the Madrid church. This is just before we came. They were pretty full to capacity. This is in the school building in Madrid. And they had like 400 people on a Sunday. And so the traditional way of thinking is, okay, you're full in your service, so you go to two services. And somewhere in there, Pastor Rick had gone on like a three-month sabbatical, and he stumbled on this concept called a satellite church. And so he actually gave books to all the elders and deacons, and we all read this book, and it was describing what's called a satellite church concept. The traditional church plant model was this, okay? You had, normally a man and wife and their family and maybe a few people with them, and they feel called of God to plant a church. And so you bring them up front, you lay hands on them, you send them out with as big a blessing as you can. You support them financially as they're getting this church off the ground, and you kind of send them out and say, God bless you, go for it, we're with you, we're going to support you from a distance. Where the satellite church concept was a little different, and that was this. Instead of having two services in one location, you basically have two services in two different locations. One church, two locations. Same leadership team, same elders, deacons, primarily same people in the pulpit, same pastors, same elders. But you have one church in two locations. So they did that, I think, August. I think 3 years ago is when they actually launched the church from Madrid to Potsdam. And long story short, not that it hasn't been without its challenges and bumps in the road, but it's been a booming, you know, God has totally blessed what they've done. Matter of fact, in Potsdam today, you know, they bought the old Newman Center. It was an old Catholic church that was geared for campus ministry. And I think they have 240 seats in there. Does that sound about right, Bob? I think they have 240 seats in there, and they're actually planning on going to two services in September, like a month from now, because there's so many people, and God has definitely blessed it. They have been able to, by going to two services in two locations, they've actually been able to reach a lot more people with the gospel. A lot more people have been impacted. So, you know, for whatever reason, I never even considered that, to be honest with you, until a few months ago, about doing something similar here. And so, like I said, this has been rumbling around in my heart for maybe the last 4 months or so. Well, last Friday, I got a phone call from Ford Reynolds. And Ford called me all excited. And that perked up my ears. Because truth be told, Ford was never excited about this building down the hill. he didn't like publicly say, Mike, you're crazy. That's a horrible idea. He never did that. He was with me in the sense of, Mike, if you see it, I'm with you. But I just don't see it. Right? I mean, I haven't heard from God. That was his testimony. He was just being honest. And I've told him many times, Ford, if you're not going to be honest with me, then you're not helping me. I need you to be honest. Even if I don't like it, you got to be honest with me. So he called me all excited on Friday. And I'm like, wow, Ford's really excited about this. And what has happened is there was a church in Governor called the West Side Baptist Church. And where's Sam Socha? Sam in the back there. Sam's brother-in-law, Donald Owen, has pastored the church for what, 7 or 8 years? Okay, about 8 years. And they just recently closed the church. Correct me if I'm wrong, Sam, any of the details. I think it was May, maybe? Okay. They just recently They had a bunch of folks from Fort Drum, and the military changed where they were, you know, their situation. And so the church kind of shrunk quickly, and it was struggling anyway. And so they just felt led to close it down. And so they closed the church down. And so they're hoping to move their family, Donald and Sarah Owens. They have 9 children. They're hoping to move to Michigan, like, for September 1 or late August. And so they really want to sell this quickly. So Ford calls me up all excited. He says, Mike, I think you need to see this property. There's a lot here. And so there's a church building that I think was built in the 70s. And it's 3,200 square feet. And it has about 100 seating for about 120 people in the sanctuary. It certainly needs a little bit of sprucing up, some paint and some stuff like that. But it's actually a church building. It's not like a warehouse that would need to be turned into a church. It actually is a church building. It would need some sprucing up and stuff. And also, next to the church is a house. Is that the house you grew up in, Sam? How big is that house? 1,700 square feet, maybe? Okay. Yeah, just shake your head. Sure, Mike, whatever. I don't know. I'm guessing it's about that big. But bottom line is it's had quite a bit of work done to the house, all new siding and lots of stuff on the inside. And then next to the house, there's a double empty lot, okay? So this was all up for sale for $135,000. And so, like I said, Ford never pays full price for anything. So he right away thought, boy, I think this might be God. And so, long story short, we've looked at it. I've had a bunch of folks in the church here look at it. Some of the key leaders, Rusty, Mark Reed, Rick Haller, me and Ford. Some of the folks up in Madrid looked at it. Everyone is like, boy, I think this is a really, really great door. It feels to me like this is an answer to our prayer. It really, really does. So I'm just sharing that with the church family. That's where we're at. So let's see. So here's the bottom line. We have had this ongoing problem with what do we do with all the people. This actually would fix that problem, okay? We would be able to, I'm envisioning a satellite church situation. I'm not necessarily envisioning sending somebody out to just run it, but we're only about 7 miles apart, and we could stagger the services like they did in Madrid, and, you know, I could be in the pulpit. I'm still the pastor. I'd still be involved heavily. Basically be one church in 2 locations, and it'd be a great way to reach out into the community there. And so I think at the end of the day, if we have a church of 100 people here and 100 people there, we're actually able to have a lot greater impact than if we have one church of 200 people somewhere, wherever that might be. And so I just think, one of the things that happened in the prophetic meetings that we had in April, Charlie Sweet, one of the prophets, he talked about in upstate New York, if you have churches of 80, 100, 120 people, that's like, you know, we're pretty rural up here. We're not living in a metropolitan area. So if you have a church of 100 people, that is a great size of a church. That's a wonderful size. You can still know everybody, but you can have a real impact in the community. And there's enough resources to, like, you know, to pay for staff and elders and all that kind of stuff. So there's a lot of potential. So I'm asking you as the congregation several things. Number one is our bylaws. We need to have a congregational vote of all the members before we do this. So I don't want to just ramrod this through. I'm not pushing this upon you. I want you to seriously pray with us, and I want you to tell us what you think, okay? I really, really, really do. Like I said, I'm excited about it. I feel like it's an answer to prayer. Is it without its challenges? No, it's got a lot of challenges. You know, in some ways, I feel like Moses, when God told Moses, take the people out of Egypt and come to the desert and worship me. Like if Moses would have stopped and thought about just like one small detail, like, okay, how am I going to feed everybody? I mean, that would have put the brakes on everything right there. So I'm trying not to get like stuck in those kind of details because that's sometimes where I live, to be honest with you. There's a lot of things, a lot of answers that or questions that we don't have answers to, some of the details. But I just feel in my heart this would be a really, really great step for us to do as a local church. And I think it's a great opportunity. So I'm going to open it up. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody want to share anything? And I'm going to open up. Yeah, that's what.
One quick thought that I had is when Potsdam and Madrid did the satellite model, I'm the type of person, I don't like change. So if you're sitting here and you're like, wow, this is change, I'm that person. I can relate to you. I just am that type of person. I like things as they are. So for me, it's always a stretch to change. Even when it's the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Even when God's like, I'm with you. This is what we're supposed to do. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless this. Just in my soul, that's just how I'm wired. And God is so faithful. He is always faithful. But one of the things, when Madrid and Potsdam did this, I'm just like a relational person. I love the family of God. I love being together. And the thought of the two different services, I was like, oh, I know this is the Lord. I know this is a greater opportunity to see the gospel go forth. More things can happen. But I thought, I love seeing everybody. That was one of my thoughts. And the neat thing is, as I've stayed close, I have really good friends. Mike pastored. He was associate pastor for 15 years in Madrid. With the two services, all of the men's ministries, women's ministries, youth ministry, anything not Sunday morning, all of the support non-Sunday morning services were combined. And that was really cool because the sense now after 3 years is they really are one church. Like there really is, hindsight's 2020, looking back and talking to people in Madrid and Potsdam, they're like, we really are one church. We're going to be kicking off women's ministry in September. Men's ministry is happening. You know, when we talk about just anything, youth events or whatever, that will be combined. So we will be together. We will be one church. We will have different, you know, small groups. Dave Ramsey, when we do Dave Ramsey, things like that, that will be combined. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity to continue to cultivate relationships amongst the two locations. So with that said, I was a little bit nervous looking at it 3 years ago, and I thought, wow, that really worked. Relationally, people really were able to foster their relationships with each other. So that's one of the things that is important to me, is to continue to really see an intimacy and a relational, joining between the folks of the two different locations, just as it will be when we go to the two services August 31st. I really want to see the connection between the folks.
Yes, Ronnie?
Well, I have a few thoughts. My family, we were at CFC Madrid when the multi-site concept was activated, so to speak. And so I can talk about what it was like when that was just beginning, but then also what it's like right now. And I can't help throughout the process just thinking about farmers and gardeners. You'll relate to this. Unless a seed dies, unless you take that beautiful seed with all the life packed in it and stick it in the dirt so that it literally perishes, it cannot grow. And then I also think about, the story of Alonzo Wilder when he and his brother were getting settled in North Dakota, I think it was. He had saved wheat seed to plant the following season. And he actually built a false wall inside their building. They had a feed store that they lived in. And he put all that seed inside the false wall to make sure that it wouldn't be eaten that it wouldn't be used up during the long, hard winter. He was saving that seed for a special purpose. And so when I'm hearing stuff like this, my spirit automatically says, wow, this is definitely the Lord, because it's in his design that a seed has to perish in order to grow and bear great fruit for a great harvest. But also, you don't just stick it in a hole in the wall and let it sit there for nothing. You really store it up for a purpose, and God has stored up a lot within this group, within the group in Madrid, within the group in Potsdam, et cetera, within the people, the individuals, the families here. God has stored a lot up, but it's for a purpose. So I'm excited about this, and I can say because of what we saw initially with the multi-site concept, Madrid to Potsdam, and what we see today because of that, exactly what God says about seed perishing and bearing great fruit and yielding a big harvest, that is exactly what has happened. So I'm excited about it, and I'm in.
So the church here is 22 years old. How many have had a baby before you were 22? All right, yeah. So it's just, I didn't. Yeah, I was 25. I was 29. Sorry, yeah, I was an old guy. So the church has been alive for 22 years. So it's like a church grows to, you know, it's like a person. They grow to be, you know, whatever, 6'3". But then you don't keep growing bigger. Now it's time to make babies, you know, and have babies. And the process starts all over again. So just a thought. Andrew?
I have two questions, Pastor Mike. I have two questions for... this is open. Maybe when we have the meeting, I'll ask more questions. But the first two questions are you going to have the open for the church to look at it and to view it, and just like we did down in the Ridgefield Church? And the second question is, what do you have any ideas for the secondary buildings? Because church building, okay, but what do you have any initial thoughts for, like, the house and the empty lot?
Yeah, great questions. So we have the opportunity to do a walkthrough today. So that's why I'm not going to be long-winded here, because I want to end. And for as many people that can drive south 7 miles, we are going to walk through the church building. And I really would appreciate that, as many that are able to do that with us, because that would help. So we're gonna do that today. The second question. Oh. I'm not sure what to do with a house. I'm not looking for a house. Maybe we sell the house. And if we sell the house, we may be able to get the church building for, you know. I heard the house. This is what Donald told me. He thinks that maybe you could get between $85,000 and $100,000 for the house. That might be optimistic. Even if you could get $70,000 or $75,000. It's a lot where we have, let me just give you a little snapshot on the finances here. We have currently saved about $70,000 that we've saved through the years. And I know the Christian Fellowship Center, they have a fund set aside for church planting. And so they want to, like, come alongside us and help us. I don't have any details of how much that might be. But they want to give us something. They may have enough money in their kitties to loan us the difference between our 70, whatever they want to plant into the work here, and they may be able to come up with enough so that we don't end up having to go to a bank to borrow the money. We maybe just borrow it from CFC. I don't know that for certain. So some of those details are needing to be worked out, but bottom line is we're in a place of strength. We don't owe anything here. We're debt-free. We have 4,200 square feet here. It would be 3,200 there. So in essence, it's the building is a little bit bigger than this building before they did the addition. And so it's, does that answer some of your questions? Yeah. It really works as a house. It's a really nice little house. I don't know. I'm guessing we'll probably sell it, but I don't know for certain. I don't want to say until we work that out. Jude?
One of the quick things I was going to say, when you had some folks look at it, they also said that if we ever wanted to do an addition, the way it's set up is pretty simple to do that, like where the land is. That was one question that you had, if we ever wanted to expand on that. And I just wanted to quickly add, just when you were talking about change and how anything that's living changes and grows, I was going to add one of the things that the Lord spoke to me when I was telling you how I struggle with change personally. One of the things the Lord showed me at that season, about 4 years ago, 5 years ago with the change, my five boys at that time were probably, they're 20 to 10 right now, they were 15 to 5. And all of a sudden I looked out the kitchen window and the five boys, ages 15 to 5, were all playing basketball. And they were all like getting along and shooting hoops and playing basketball. And I was having one of those mommy moments, you know, looking out the window like, ah, this is just so nice. I wish I could freeze frame this moment in time. I just, you know, everybody's still here and it's just so nice. And the Lord said, if it's the same way like this in 10 years and in 15 years and 20 years, things are dead. Things are growing. They have to change. That's not normal. And so that's something that personally the Lord spoke to me, in the sense of with church life, if it's the exact same way that it is this moment in time, in 5 years, in 10 years, we're not growing. We're dead. And so that was something the Lord helped me to walk through that.
Amen. Thanks. Ronnie, again.
I just wanted to share, I take for granted that I may know some of the folks at CFC Madrid better than some here. And I just want to say, we have men and women in the leadership of our church that know as much as they need to know about real estate, about finance, about building structures, plus the kingdom of God. So, we will have questions, but I just want to just testify. I have said, as long as I've known CFC, this is the healthiest church that I've ever known and been a part of. There's a really good team, a strong team, and we can really trust them. So I just want to testify to that. We can trust them, and we can ask all of our questions.
Who else had their hand up? Yes.
Greetings from Pine City Christian Church, and peace. We call it PC3. It's south of Elmira, and we just planted a church 2.5 years ago. And it is a vision from our mother church to plant churches, and we're still connected. It's not the same type that you were just talking about, where you're going to pastor a satellite church, but this is a church plant. We have sister churches around the country. But I just wanted to bear witness with the Spirit of the Lord in this house. We believe that God leads people, and he speaks to people today. And I want to thank the brother here for sharing. I just see a call on your life, and don't put it off. And you have a lot of children. Don't put it off. Because where the Lord calls and where he leads and where he directs, he will provide. And I work in a large company, and I still have a full-time job while we're planning the church. And men are very logical. We like to figure everything out, get into the details. We can talk ourselves into anything if it looks good on paper. I mean, that school over there, when I was driving up, I said, wow, that's cool. They can get in there, you know. And but Ford said no, so that's good. So, but I just want to encourage you that get the mind of the Lord. Well, I have six boys. I have a little girl. And when my son dropped the bomb that he was going to move 4 hours away, and I said, as a father, just like the God our Father in heaven, it doesn't matter what career path you take or where you go or what decisions you're making in your life. All I want as a father is for my children to be able to hear God's voice and obey. Then God takes care of the rest. You know, and the Lord spoke to my son, and he obeyed. The one thing, I can teach him how to build. I can teach him how to plant a garden. I can, you know, we can teach our children a lot of things in life, which is good. But the number one thing that we want to teach our children is to be able to hear God's voice and obey. And just like a church, not just a pastor, but as a church, where is God calling you to fit into this puzzle, into this house? Each and every person in the body of Christ is called to a place, whether it's serving in the children's ministry or the nursery or the sound system or the groundskeeping. Each one, there's a calling there. And all of us come together as the family of God. And I'm not trying to go long. My wife said, don't go long. But, you know, unity in our carnal mind and in the natural is, let's get organized. Let's figure it all out. Let's write it down. That's unity. Oh, you're going to do this. You're going to do that. But unity, this is just my exhortation to the body of Christ, isn't all of us getting together and figuring it out. If you hear God's voice, and you obey what God tells you to do, and you hear God's voice, and you obey what God tells you to do, we're in unity. And God's going to bring confirmation, just like this move. I just praise the Lord that up here in the middle of nowhere, we're driving through all these country towns and praying my son will slow down, you know, because we're winding around all these roads, you know. And, oh, there's a church. Wow. And you're right. When you get a church out in the North Country or like this, over 100, you know, there's a lot happening. And praise the Lord. Just God bless you. Get the mind of the Lord, and the Lord will bring about his vision and his desire for this house and this area. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Amen. That's good. Any other thoughts, questions, comments, Bob?
I'm just thrilled about it. I really am. I mean, I just really, Renee and I are just excited about it. When we moved down here and we heard you were thinking about doing a church plant, was just so, our hearts just leapt, because that's so much on the heart of God. I mean, that's the Great Commission. That's really what we're called to do. I mean, you know, we get fixed up. Jesus comes into our life, rescues us, fixes us up, and he's still fixing us up. And even as he's fixing us up, he says, listen, go out there and help somebody else, you know. And when he said go, that means movement. That means change. That means, you know, getting up and doing something. And so it's exciting. And that's really what the church is meant to do. And so I'm just thrilled about it. I think it's wonderful. And we've had a sense when we came here that we were going to be involved in something like this even before we knew that there was a stirring to do a church plant. So for us, it's just like, yeah, that's what we came here for. So we're really excited about it. But.
Excellent. Jesus didn't say, build it and they will come, right? Like the movie, he said, go ye in all the world. So excellent. Anybody else before? Yes, James.
The house thing. There's a church in Minnesota that had a house, and they bought the church initially thinking it wasn't going to grow. And just like the problem we had here where there were not a lot of people necessarily on every Sunday, but there were always too many kids for the Sunday school classes, they had room to expand, but during the expansion time, they actually kept the house even though no one was in it, and they used it for Sunday school classes during the expansion time. So that's another thought to have.
Yeah, so I'm not sure exactly what to do. The sensation is that this is an opportunity, an answer to prayer. I love your sister and your brother-in-law. Really, really sweet people, godly people. And Sam, I'm talking to you, Sam, I guess. And so, I don't know. Any other thoughts, comments, questions for you? Do you have anything you want to say? Here, let people hear from you.
I will just say, Mike didn't mention there's a 24 by 24 nice garage that goes with the property, as well as quite a lot of land. So there's a lot of room to expand there. There's a lot of potential there. And I just feel like God is, the cloud is moving, and we better move with it. Amen? It works good when you do what God, what he leads. So, Sam, do you want to say something?
That's awesome. So Sam grew up in this house. I think in the bedroom upstairs, you wrote with crayon or something on the ceiling. His name is in crayon on the ceiling. So we do have permission to walk through. So once again, so we're going to just look at it now. And we're going to actually bring this up next week and bring it to vote. So we're not committed if it really, all of a sudden, the direction really radically changes. We can certainly still put the brakes on this thing. So, but, yeah, okay. So it is at, thank you. It's at, it's on Smith Street in Gouverneur. So you go through Gouverneur. It's on the south side of Gouverneur. As you go over the bridge, you go past the Save-A-Lot food store on your right. It's the second right past Save-A-Lot. Okay, there's a right there at Save-A-Lot. It's not that one. It's the next right, Smith Street. You go all the way down the end of the street, and the church is on the left. Okay, Rusty? It's the first right after Nice and Easy. Yeah. Yeah. Second right, past Save-A-Lot. All right, I'm going to pray, and I'm going to end the meeting if you could stay. Yes, Nathan? Okay, some of those details, I certainly don't have those worked out. Here's what I was thinking, though. We would still go to two services at the end of August here, right here. And so we would do that for a season. And I don't know how long that season is, but in that time, we'll be preparing for an actual grand opening launch at some point. I don't know if it's 3 months, 4 months, 2 months, 6 months. I don't know how long it will be. But during that time, we'll get used to having two services here, and we'll be in the process of trying to raise up and multiplying teams that can go from here to there. Like, so the first Sunday that we open down there, we've got a nursery. We've got a children's program. We've got, you know, a worship team. So we're going to use this season here to prepare for that, if that makes sense. So we'll go to two services here. And at first, we won't, like, okay, if you're going to go to Gouverneur, you come to the – at first, we won't figure that out. But at some point along the way, we might say, okay, the last month here – the Richfield Church meets at this time. The Gouverneur Church plant meets at this time. So it'll actually kind of form into its two groups. But we won't start doing that. That's just my initial thought anyway. Yes, Ford?
That would find that building, that church building closer to where they live. And so I think immediately we would have, without designating anything, we would have quite a number of people there, a real nucleus there to get started. So I'm encouraged by that fact, and the fact that we can meet the needs of the people. You know, gasoline isn't gone down very much in price. So I think it'll be a blessing for a lot of people in that way.
Jude?
Wanted to share one other quickie. Basically, one of our hearts is just to see a multi-generational church, to see, really to see the next generation raised up. And one of the things that I was really excited about, because nursery and children's ministry is something that's really on my heart, when I walked into the building, and those of you who will see the support rooms, there's three main support rooms for children's ministry and nursery are much bigger than what we have now. So when I looked at those, when I looked at the church, I honed in on the children's ministry and the nursery. I was like, wow, this is really cool. This is really great. We have a lot of room for children's ministry and nursery and such. So I was excited about that.
And one of the things they say about church planning is there's a vacuum, and vacuums get filled. And so when you start something like this, it's just a great opportunity for people to step into new roles. We're going to need new elders, more deacons, more heads of ministries, more preachers, more worship leaders. It's a demand on us, but it's going to be a good demand. And I just, you know, God fills those kind of vacuums. And so, all right. Well, amen. I'm gonna end with a word of prayer. And if you can make it down to Smith Street, I would really love if you could walk through. Father, we just thank you. Lord, I just pray for just a real Holy Ghost witness in our hearts on what we are to do. Lord, it's been a great season, and it's fun that, you know, we got kids coming out of our ears here. The place is abuzz with activity, but Lord, it's just, we're packed. And so, Lord, we just really look for a strong confirmation of your Spirit that this was the way that you would want us to go. And Lord, at the end of the day, it's not our church. Jesus, it's your church. You're the one who shed your blood for all of us. Lord, we're just under-shepherds. I'm an under-shepherd. You're the great shepherd. And Lord, just ask you to lead us, guide us. And Father, we just want to be willing and available for all that you have for us. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for listening to all the details there. And so the church door is unlocked. So if you meet me there, just push on the handle and you can go in. And we are also making a bid for the house. But Sarah said, please don't let anybody walk through the house. Okay? So we're just walking through the church building.